Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And man, do we have a wonderful show for you today. Our good friend, and we've only met him for the last 30 minutes, but we've been talking a little bit on email. He is from Virginia, pastors a church, and he has a story to tell. What's his name?
Well, his name is Jeremy Farley.
Is that you?
That's it.
Okay.
Yes. I was checking to make sure you guys got it right. There,
hey, so. I'm thinking maybe we had Garth Brooks here.
I'm going to shake your hand.
Well, I'll shake your hand as well. I'll give you a hug for saying that.
You've written a book.
Yes, sir.
And we want to say something about this book. It's called Hay Balers and Holy Rollers.
Correct.
Now, she's kind of from the hay baler side of this, but I'm from the holy roller side. So you're in, man.
That puts me right in the middle of you guys, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Tell us just a little bit about... It kind of reminds me of our vice president, you know, that's the same area he grew up in, isn't it?
It is. I started this probably 10 years before he started his, but I didn't finish mine until after his was published. So it's been,
there you go.
It's been a long time writing it, but
you could have been vice president.
Well, you know, maybe so, but I think I'd rather be here with you guys today.
Let me see that. This is very interesting. What made you think about doing this, Jeremy?
You know, I grew up on a farm in Southwest Virginia, and my grandfather, he was a coal mining guy, and he made some money during the 1980s and purchased a farm with it. Mm-hmm. And he always wanted to be a cowboy, and he did that, I guess, in his older years of life. But he was a very rough, stern man, and he was in a lot of ways a godless man, even though he was a good man. And I grew up in his home, and at the same time, I have my mother who, you know, she was this church-going lady. She was somebody that loved the Lord, and it felt like growing up I was torn between the old man who was my great grandfather and him going in one direction, and then my mother always trying to steer me back in the other direction. And growing up with both of them, of course I have my father and I have my family there, but there were so many wild things that happened, and it was an opportunity to, I guess, tell my children the way that I grew up in hopes of helping them understand who I am. But beyond that, what's so wonderful about this is this godless man that my whole life, you know, whenever it came to religion, he'd start cussing and start talking bad about preachers. At the very end, he ended up giving his life to the Lord. And for everybody in his community, that was a remarkable feat. And so that's something that I just wanted to document my relationship with him and how it changed over the years.
Yes. You talk about the NASCAR people that were there. Wildness. I just can't imagine you being a type of a wild guy cussing and flaunting around and...
I think my mother really made sure that I wasn't, but at the same time, it was she chose her battles, and my grandmother always laughs about how I was the most cussing 4-year-old she had ever met. So that's you can take that for what it is, I guess.
Your life changed quite a bit when you moved to Virginia to that farm and ranch. You said you were driving by four.
Yes.
And
that's something that I've had to be careful not to tell these stories because I'm afraid people will think I'm a liar.
Yeah.
But it's and anybody that's ever grown up on a farm, you know, knows that spot.
Well, there's a definition of driving when you're four.
Right.
You're up on your knees, maybe on a feed sack, and your daddy's got it choked down, and you are hay in the back. That was my experience. Well,
we've had the same childhood then.
we'd put it in first gear and we'd stand on a seat and we'd drive it to the end, you know. When it get close, he'd jump in there and change directions while he's hauling hay.
Now people have Polaris's and don't have to, you know.
I remember jumping in the floor and mashing in the brake with both my hands. And I mean, it was still all I could do that. And then my dad jumping in there. But I wouldn't have traded that for, you know, all the cattle in Texas, as they say, because it was wonderful.
Well, you're a great communicator just sitting here. And I can imagine, I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to read it. And I can imagine how well this is going to read. And I asked you a really telling question a while ago. Did you write this with Meta
right.
AI? And you said no, it helped you with punctuation, right. Which is great.
Absolutely.
You know, that takes up a lot of time writing.
The bad thing is all of these stories are true. And that's kind of what my mother was laughing about. As she said, really, you watered it down in a lot of ways. And so that is something that I've got my mother, I've got my father who can vouch for these stories.
Yes.
Of course, a lot of them are through the eyes of a four-year-old, through the eyes of a six-year-old, a 10-year-old. And my mom said, you know, she read it. She was like, you know, I'd like to write her version of it, of how this thing happened. And it's amazing to me, though. I mean, my mother had me whenever she was 17 years old. And she had a person at the school that was the first person to find out I was in the world or coming into the world. I told my mother to abort me. And that was kind of our start. And to see where God has brought us, my whole family, it's amazing to me.
Yes. Yes, so you've come a long ways.
It's all because of him, for sure.
You're married?
Yes, ma'am. I am married. I have three daughters. They sing.
They keep me.
Yeah, they're wonderful people, and they get me in doors that I probably wouldn't be able to get in myself.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Yeah. Well, folks, let's go to Cowboy Church. I'm going to sing a song, and then you are going to enjoy Jeremy Farley from Virginia. And I know that since you know a little bit about his story and know about his book, you'll want to get that for your reading pleasure. But listen to him as he presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
This song right here was birthed out of a saying that we used to say a lot when we were kids. When somebody would hurt us and they would say mean things to us, we would say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have anybody of y'all said that before? I have. But how untrue is that? The words will hurt you for forever if you let them. And they hurt to the very quick of your being. And so I wrote this line down, this idea, and then I wrote a line that came to me. I said, they cut just like a knife, but leave no scar that you can see. In other words, it's way down on the deep part of you. And I emailed it to my sister Reba, and I said, do you think this is a good theme for a song? Do you think that maybe you could help me write this song? She right back at me, she said, send it to Autumn. Now, Autumn is my brother's oldest daughter, and she's in Nashville. She's pursuing a career in country music, and she's also a writer. And she emailed me right back. She says, I love the idea. So her and Tim Matthews got together, and the three of us wrote this song. And it's about something that hurts us, and it leaves nothing on the outside that anybody could see, but it can destroy lives, especially young people who are being emotionally and verbally abused. So listen to the words of this song. Careful what you say to me. Be careful where you go. My skin's as thick as skin can be. I learned to make it so. I don't doubt you care for me. I can see you do. But love can hide in shadows when your words turn black and blue. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Whatever has been haunting you, I wish I could set it free. Then no more would I see your tears or hear apologies. Just more words of broken glass that burn just like the sun. And I don't know if we can fix the damage that's been done. Sometimes break bones,
but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Quiet now and peaceful here, but will it be for long? The stillness in your eyes is like the calm before the storm. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Oh, a part of you and me. A part of you and me.
Is going on in your life. Like I told you this morning right there in the church building, you've got a pastor here and he's got a heart for you. Amen.
I want to take just a moment and share with you John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. This is probably the most well-quoted and well-known verse in the entire Bible, but I want us to make sure that we're not so familiar with it that we lose somewhat of its power. And sometimes we can become over-familiar with something and in the process not really grab hold of the truths that are mentioned here. So we're going to just go verse by verse, line by line, word by word through this section right here. The Bible says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want to take just a moment and go through these verses, or at least this one verse here, and look at it. What does the Bible say? What is Jesus communicating through John chapter 3 and verse number 16? The first thing I see whenever I read this verse is something that is very simple, and that is the fact. We see the fact that is mentioned in John 3:16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." And the reality is this right here. There is a fact that God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, no matter what's going on in your life at this moment, know this, there's a God in heaven who loves you. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." Let me talk about that love of God, the fact that God's love is real. Number one, it is an indescribable fact. Out of all the words Jesus could have used to describe God's love, He said, "For God so loved the world." I've got a little daughter and I take her fishing sometimes, and my little girl, sometimes she'll catch a fish and she'll say, "Daddy, this fish is so big." And I'll say, "How big was it?" And she doesn't give me a measurement, but instead she says, "It was so big." And she'll reach out her hands as if to describe it using the word "so." When we say something is so big, we mean that I can't even put it into words how much this is. And Jesus, who is omniscient, who knows everything, when He describes God's love for the world, He says, "God so loved the world." God's love is indescribable. You cannot quantify God's love. You can't put that into words. You can't describe it to somebody. One thing that is real about every preacher is going to be a failure at the end of the day. And the reason for that is it is the job of the preacher to communicate to you how much God loves you. And no matter how elegant somebody might be, no matter how eloquent somebody might be, no matter how gifted of an orator someone might be, the reality is it is impossible to put into words how much God loves you. No matter what your past is like, no matter what your sins are like in days gone by, God's love is indescribable. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. The Scriptures tells us that He gave His only begotten Son. His love is indescribable. But I'll say something else about God's love. Not only is His love indescribable, but God's love is indiscriminate. God so loved the world, meaning that God died for the southern United States, but also God died for the northern United States, but also that God died for South Africa, and God died for those in the Sahara. God died for those in Japan. God died for those in Europe. God died for those in Australia. The Lord truly loves the world. And so no matter who you are, no matter what your race might be, no matter what your past might be, no matter what your financial status might be, no matter what mistakes you have seen and done and taken part of in days gone by, the fact is God loves you, and it is indiscriminate. It is hands open wide saying, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is a God in heaven today who loves you with all of His might, all of His power. It is indescribable and it is indiscriminate. It is available to anyone. And so number one, when we look at John 3:16, the first thing that is being communicated is a fact. God so loved the world. But the second thing we see, not only is there a fact that is mentioned in John 3:16, but there is an act. True love always produces action. True love always produces activity. I can say that I love you, but if I don't follow up my love in action, all I'm given is empty words. And at the end of the day, no one needs any more empty words. We're living in a culture where it feels like everyone's words are void. Everyone's words are countless. Everyone's words have no meaning or life to them. You can flip through the channels and you'll see politician after politician. You'll see celebrity after celebrity. You'll see business person after business person, all flooding the airwaves with their words. But God did not just say, I love you, but God goes a step further. And God says, God, I love you, but He says this, not only do I love you, but I'm going to prove my love for you. Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave. True love always produces action. What did He give? Let's talk about that gift for a moment. God's love was a personal gift. It was personal what He gave. It wasn't something that He gave in order that some people are very generous whenever it doesn't hit them personally. But God gave a gift to the world that was most dear. For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. God's love is indiscriminate. God's love is indescribable, but God's love is personal. God loves you today. He didn't send somebody to love you in His place, but God loves you personally. You might have been rejected by your mother and your father. You might feel rejected by your own family. And that's why the Old Testament, it says, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. God loves those that are unlovable in many situations. God loves those who are the orphans. God loves those who are imprisoned. God loves those that even you or me might look at and think we are above. God's love is wide open, to which He goes to the woman in Samaria and He waits for her at the well. He knows she's going to be there, and He gets there and He sits down at the well, and there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. His love is followed by action. It is a love that is very personal. And we see with this, God so loved the world that He gave. And what did He give? He gave His only begotten Son. Of all of humanity, He had one Son. Of all the people who had ever been born, He had one child. And the Bible says that whenever Jesus was baptized, that when Christ came up out of the water, the heavens opened and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
And that is the very thing that God gave. Jesus on the cross says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's gift to humanity was laying his son on the altar in our place. God's gift to the world, God's evidence of his love, was putting Christ front and center. And in the process, freeing you and me up from our sins. In the process, freeing you and me up from all the shame and the guilt that we have been banking away our entire existence. God's love, number one, is a fact. But number two, there is an act of God's love. There is evidence of God's love. There is proof of God's love. And that act is that he gave. So number one, God so loved the world. That is a fact. But number two, there is evidence of God's love. He backs it up with action and activity. But here's the last thing. We see the fact, we see the act, but the last thing is the pact. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And here's the pact, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a promise from God that if you believe in him, you'll have everlasting life. What an amazing pact this is. What an amazing deal this is. What an amazing thought is that here is someone who loves me, even though there are times that I may not even love myself. Here is someone who loves me, even though he knows me better than anybody else has ever known me. Think about that. Could you imagine if we had access to each other's thoughts? Could you imagine if we knew what was going on behind the eyes of that person that we're talking to? Could you imagine sometimes what we think if the other people might know what's going through our mind? And yet here is God who knows everything there is to know about us inside and out, who knows us at our very worst, who knows us at our very shame, who knows us at our very least. And yet with all of his knowledge, he loves us. With all of his knowledge, not only does he love us, but he proved his love by giving that thing which was most personal to him, giving that thing that was most dear to him, which was his beloved son. The fact, he loves us. The act, he gave his son for us. And the pact is very simple. If you come to the Son, if you come to Christ, if you come to this Jesus whom God offered up, and you allow him to be your Savior, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. You will not in any way, shape, form, or fashion experience any kind of shame on Judgment Day. The Bible tells us this. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever it is that calls on him, he said, "I will in no wise cast out. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all of you that have shame and guilt and heartache, and I will take you as you are, but I will make you into something new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The pact is that if you will draw near to him and you will come to him, he will take you as you are and make you into a whole new creature.
Thank you for being with us today on Cowboy Church. Jeremy, we sure appreciated your message.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, and come back and see us again sometime. I'd like to say that to everybody here, too.
Yes.
Come back and see us next week. We'll be here again.
If you enjoyed Cowboy Church, you can write to us at the address on your screen. We love to hear from you. We are totally financially bound with the donations of people who love the show. Thank you for giving, and we appreciate it so much. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.